Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Taz Dingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, Carp's Bargain Bin Special, WrestleMania Movies. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Split Decision, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Spanish Announce Table. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMoviesDOTnet. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for our WrestleMania Bargain Bin. Of course, we've got Heavyset or Iron Man.
Dookie.
And we've got the host of the Bargain Bin, the one and only, Carp.
What's that smell?
What you gonna do, brother, when he shits all over you?
All right. You guys ready to talk some WrestleMania movies? Some wrestling movies, some WWE, some WCW. Very exciting.
There's only one WCW.
Right.
But you gotta mention the eras they're in.
That's true as well. So we're going to start off with the rock and wrestling era. Our first movie, probably one of the most famous of the 80s. We've got Hulk Hogan starring as Rip Boulder. And the fuck's Zeus's name?
Oh, you mean Tiny Lister?
Yeah, Tony Lister, yeah.
Tommy Lister. Well, Tommy, but nicknamed Tiny Lister.
Okay. Tommy Tiny Lister. He ain't tiny. And Hulk Hogan in No Holds Barred.
Hey! Wait, are you looking for a little escape? Want to see something?
This is sick!
You don't see every day. Are you ready for a whole new Hulk Hogan? Hulk Hogan is Rip. To the world, he's a hero. But to this man, he's history. Zeus. Stand back. Way back. Get ready. For the battle, no.
Did he just double axe handle a pane of glass?
No ropes can hold. No ring. No referee. No rules.
Gentlemen, it's time.
No holds barred.
This is an unprecedented display of strength and determination.
So basically, No Holds Barred, released in 1989, Rip is the World Wrestling Federation champion who is faithful to his fans. Brell, the new head of the World Television Network, wants Rip to wrestle for his network. Rip refuses and goes back to his normal life. Still looking for a way to raise ratings, Brell initiates a show called The Battle of the Tough Guys, a violent brawling competition. A mysterious man, Zeus, wins the competition. This gets Brell to use him as an angle to get Rip. So like I said, 89, starring Hulk Hogan, Joan Severance, Kurt Fuller, and Tommy Tiny Lister. Pulled in $16 million gross, from what I understand. More or less broke even. Vince McMahon, who financed the movie, says he more or less broke even because of the distribution fees. The final tally was $16 million in ticket sales. So not bad. It's not that great on Rotten Tomatoes. It's only got a 5% approval rating.
Oh,
yeah, Joan Severance was 80s hot. I don't know what went on with this, what Vince's obsession was, but Joan Severance almost got raped like 3 times in the movie. Yeah, Hulk Hogan had his moments, but he had that like retarded hand gesture thing where the index finger was like half pointed and the pinky was out and the thumb was out. Found that weird. We also had World Wrestling Federation, obviously, they weren't going to change, but I'm surprised that they basically used this to get Zeus into the WWF, and then they found out Zeus couldn't wrestle for shit.
Wasn't it the other way around where they used Zeus as a promotional tool?
No, it was after the movie, Zeus entered the WWF because he was supposed to seek revenge against Hogan for losing in the movie, because they were trying to basically say the movie was real type of thing.
Okay.
So, and then they realized he couldn't wrestle for shit, which is why they teamed him up with the Macho Man. I mean, this was 80s fun, but it definitely did not age well. For me, it's 10 Rip-ems, 4 Rip-ems out of 10.
I'm going to give my thoughts quickly. Definitely a cult classic. You know, you look back at it, and it's more of a fun thing. You know, it's not going to be on your top 10 list, but it was definitely fun for what it is. And you're right, it doesn't hold up in terms of storyline and stuff. I like the fact that they've updated it to make it 16:9. So they've actually upgraded the video quality of it when they re-released it last year, which is kind of cool. A couple of tidbits. If you notice the first match when Rip was fighting, he was actually fighting Demolition Axe. I don't know if you noticed because he was without the makeup and he had a fro on, but it was actually Axe that he was fighting. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I only noticed that watching it 20 years later. I thought that Kurt Fuller played an excellent bad guy TV executive. I don't think I've ever seen Kurt Fuller in like a good guy role. So, you know, he's obviously typecasted in that kind of bad guy in a suit.
Yeah, a corporate bad guy.
But he's so good at it. I mean, it totally makes sense. What the only thing is, whenever you see him in a TV show nowadays, like, for example, I saw him on a show, Scandal, or was it
House of Cards? He's on a lot of TV. It was Scandal. And he also, he was on Supernatural for a bit playing.
But. Yeah, it was Scandal. Yeah. I was watching him on Scandal, and I instantly knew that he was going to be a bad guy in, and he was going to turn at some point. Just because of his past history of being typecasted as the bad guy. But he does it perfectly.
Hey, the way I look at it is, you're typecasted and still getting jobs in Hollywood, you're still making a good paycheck.
You're eating. I mean, in Hollywood, that's about 10% of the people. Like, a crazy number, like 90 or 95% of people make like $5,000 a year who are actors. So it's crazy. So yeah, if you're eating, it's, you're doing a decent job. So overall, extremely cheesy. Great 80s wrestling nostalgia. I would give it 6 double axe handles breaking panes of glass out of 10. Heavy, you want to comment on No Holds Barred?
Before I get into that, Kurt Fuller does play at least one good guy character. Psych, he plays the corner. He's like kind of quirky, kind of weird, but it's always how that show is. It's not like anything in a bad way.
Okay.
And actually, that show just ended, and I think he was on the last at least 2 or 3 seasons where he was that character, and they started using him more. And even, yeah, when I was actually watching No Holds Barred, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, oh my, like, he's like, I instantly went, oh my God, he's played all these different bad guy characters, but I'm like, but he's on Psych as a good guy. And that's even before we even start talking about it. That's what I was even thinking of. So I was actually very, very late to this. And when I say late, I think I just watched it 2 weeks ago for the very first time.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Before we even start talking about doing this. It's actually something that I've had on my computer for a while, just getting around to watching it. Finally had the time, watched it, and it's kind of like everything that was said. You know, there was much of a nostalgia thing, and I think if you were to create a top 3 list of Hulk Hogan movies, this almost has to be on there by default. Only other one that I can think of that is as memorable is Mr. Nanny.
Oh, and nice. Then again, Suburban Commando.
Okay, well, top 3. But what I'm saying, like, with that one, even with what I was going to go with Mr. Nanny, he still kind of played a wrestler. Even the opening scene of that movie was him wrestling. And I felt like this was, like, him in the perfect element of, instead of being High Noon, Mega Mountain, and all that, all those, like, movies that he's just in, and he's like, really? Come on. But I really, really enjoyed it. I love that aspect of that he was the WWF champion. So we got to see all that, but it was kind of like, this was years before WCW was around, and it's kind of funny how he ended up going to WCW, and really, that shows you like what his loyalty was. I mean, because granted, that character would have been Hulk Hogan back in the day. It's almost John Cena now. Actually, the way you were describing it at the beginning, I was like, I didn't watch a John Cena movie. So it's, I've almost kind of questioned if they would ever even thinking about remaking this movie.
No.
Well, that's what we say, but what if they they get a bug up their ass with WWE films, and they go, oh, we're going to recreate our first WWF film, and oh, let's do this, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, the fact that they...
I could see them doing it.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they remastered it, I think, is as far as they're going to go. I was even surprised when they did that, although it was a great move because it actually did really well. So digitally remastering it, you know, brought it back into people's consciousness. And for the small amount that it cost, I think they actually turned a decent profit off it. So, yeah, it was a couple million or something. So, in the end, it actually landed up making a bit of money, which is kind of cool. All right.
I got to give my rating. I'm going to give it 3.5 to 4 dookies out of 5, and that's a good rating.
I was the highest one that rated it. Okay, cool. Because I'm a total Hogan mark.
Actually, technically, Heavy would be higher because he is a 4 out of 5, and you were a 6 out of 10.
Oh, good point.
Oh, all right. Math.
Look into it. All right. Our next movie starring Rowdy Piper called They Live.
Masters!
What do these things want, and why are they here?
You still don't get it, do you, boy?
They have recruited the rich and the powerful.
They're running the whole show.
Wake up! They're all about you, all around you. Blinded us to the truth.
Look, they are safe as long as they are not discovered.
I don't know what they are or where they came from, but we gotta stop them.
Stay away from me.
Put these on.
They have us.
Look at them. They're everywhere.
We have no other choice.
I don't like this one bit.
Leave it alone, man. It ain't none of my business. Ain't none of yours.
We have been lulled into a trance.
This is what I'm saying to you. We're in trouble. The whole world's in trouble.
Control us!
You're sending some kind of signals on a TV set.
I've got one that can see.
Mama don't like tattletale.
Now we start spilling some blood.
Let's go!
Push button.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
They, Carp, they live.
They live. John Carpenter written and directed sci-fi thriller. It's about a group of aliens who try to take over the world by disguising themselves as humans. Wrestler Rowdy Piper, Canadian. Stars as John Netta, a drifter who makes his way into an immense encampment for the homeless. There he stumbles upon a conspiracy concerning aliens who have hypnotized the populace through subliminal messages transmitted through television, magazines, posters, and movies. When Netta looks through his special Ray-Bans developed by the resistance leaders, the aliens lose their clean-cut Dan Quayle looks and resemble crusty-looking reptiles. Netta joins the underground, teaming up with rebel leader Frank to eradicate the lizard-like aliens from the body. Okay, well, that movie synopsis is incorrect because Keith David's character, who was played by Frank, was no rebel leader. But I love this movie. It was great. Piper played a great action hero star. He looked really in good shape, too, when he was in this. I love the concept of how the aliens are hiding in the humans and that there's only a special way that we can see them. This is
with a $2 pair of sunglasses.
They show that they actually fix the glasses. This actually tracks at 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I cannot believe that.
Yeah, I like almost everything about this. It's like from the glasses to see the aliens and the alien products, like how the aliens see. The money says this is your god. Magazines say like consume, reproduce, sleep. How the cops have become like. The cops are now aliens and, like, you know, the rich, higher class people are aliens and that it's basically they're trying to wipe out us humans. The fight between Netta and Frank Piper.
That was ridiculous. That was half of the fucking movie.
But it was awesome.
It was ridiculous.
It's been done shot for shot remake in Saints Row 4 and in a South Park episode. I loved the fight. I thought it was great. Apparently these guys were told like they had 3 minutes and just do whatever. And then they started fighting, but you could see that the fights, like the punches were missing and stuff, but it looked great. He's just like, put on the glasses. No, man, he beats the shit out of him a bit. They beat the shit out of each other. Put on the glasses, man. No, go fuck yourself. Beat the shit out of each other some more.
I'd like to time it. I think it was almost 20 minutes,
it's,
the fight.
It's like 7.5, 8 minutes long.
Oh my God.
The suplex, everything looked great. The movie's been around 20 years. I guess I shouldn't really say anything, but So unfortunate, Keith David just gets taken out off-screen like a punk by Meg Foster. You know, chick turns heel to go to her alien overlords. I mean, yeah, I love this movie. I still like it. I find it's Encounter of the Third Hidden Kind type of thing. For me, this is an 8.5 alien sunglass detectors out of 10.
How the fuck you give this 8.5? Oh, I don't understand. I love this movie. All right, well, let's. I'm going to bring you back down to earth, back to reality here. This is 1984 meets Alien Invasion. Piper, half of the movie is seen just doing scenic shots and getting reactions. He has very little dialogue in it because he obviously can't act. I mean, yeah, the fight scene was fun, but it's ridiculously long.
Hey,
let me finish. I gave you your time. The fact that he can see aliens with a 10-cent pair of sunglasses doesn't make any sense. It goes from completely like calm movie. You got this drifter who's looking for a job, and it's his like trying to find his way in the world. That goes for about 20, 25 minutes. And then out of nowhere, he just starts blowing people away. It goes from one extreme to the other. He's just walking around, minding his own business, finds a pair of sunglasses, and starts blowing everybody away. Like, the movie downs 3 Red Bulls and just starts running. That'd be the equivalent of the change of the pace of the movie once Piper finds out that the aliens exist. I found Meg Foster to be extremely wooden. She was a terrible actress. It was funny with the turn where, you know, he's talking about, oh, you know, well, you work at a TV station? Yeah, it throws him out a window. You know, that's that kind of, but that's the pacing of the movie. It's really interesting. Cheese fest for sure. 80s fun, I would agree. 8.5 is ridiculous. I'd give it a 5.5. Heavy set, you want to comment?
I just wanted to mention, I forgot. The budget was actually $4 million for this, and it grossed
what?
$13 million in the U.S.
Oh, that's all
that
right.
That was in 88, so.
Yeah, it made some money. That's good. So Piper was more of a draw than Hogan was.
Yep.
Heavy, you want to talk about this one?
I have not yet to see it. If I was trying to get time to watch it yesterday, then I was called back to work almost immediately, so I was like, what the fuck? And I actually plan on watching it right after we record.
Okay. In your opinion, did Karp sell you on this movie?
I didn't really need any type of selling because I was going to watch it anyway. It's one of those I've always heard about, and I was going to watch it no matter what.
Okay, awesome. And guys, sound off on Twitter and send me an email. What do you guys think about the Rock and Wrestling era? Other movies we could have covered, obviously, were condensed because we're going to be pushing this all into one special for WrestleMania, but other movies, other memories, let me know. Tweet me, email me, oldmovies.net and oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com.
I mean, for Rock and Wrestling Era, these are the two kind of mainstays from what I remember. There is Ventura in Predator and Running Man, obviously, but he wasn't the star of the film like Hogan and Piper were of their individual films.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything else from the Rock and Wrestling Era on this level. So,
moving on to the Attitude Era. And in particular, Stone Cold Steve Austin in 2007's The Condemned.
On a remote island, the most vicious form of illegal entertainment.
Give me 182, please.
Is about to go online.
These contestants were already dead. Each was on death row. After 30 hours, I will set the last one left alive, free.
The players. Ruthless killers. Ooh. The game. Stay alive.
Game on.
You enjoy watching all this?
Let's go, sweetheart.
The Condemned.
The Condemned, Carp.
The Condemned. WWE superstar Stone Cold Steve Austin stars as a death row inmate who gets a rare second shot at life in director Scott Whipper's adrenaline-charged action thriller. Jack Conrad is a dangerous convict currently awaiting execution in a corrupt Central American prison. Purchased by a wealthy television producer and transported to a deserted island, the formidable inmate is offered the opportunity to avoid capital punishment and win back his freedom by fighting to the death against 9 other condemned criminals. I mean, an illegal game can be broadcast uncensored over the internet. Rick Hoffman and Vinnie Jones co-star in this brutal battle royale of nonstop carnage. This was way too long for an action flick. It was almost 2 hours. It should have been like an hour 20. It lost a crap ton of money from what I understand. Debuted with an opening of $3.8 million and lasted only 4 weeks, produced a big loss, closing with a total made of $7.3 million and roughly only $1.2 overseas. The film apparently lost $15.7 million, and I can see why. I thought it was good the first time I see it, but I guess it was product of environment, big popcorn action flick. I rewatched it. It's not all that great. I can see why it's tracking at 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. Way too much shaky cam. It was like the first Hunger Games level of shaky cam for the fighting, I guess, since nobody really knew how to fight. It was just like, oh, let's throw in these random characters and give them pointless storylines. Oh, now they're dead. For Stone Cold's opening film, he was okay in it. But generally, the movie itself was not all that great. It's like, oh, they can't track him on the internet. Or, oh, we can't do this. Or, hey, we can't find this guy's real-life story. I mean, the internet was a lot more advanced in 2007 than what they're playing along with. So for me, this is like a 3 Death Islands out of 10.
Yeah, it was definitely a letdown. Austin, you know, doing his pretty much his acting debut to star in a role way too late before, you know, just really after he was really hot in wrestling. With Austin, I find he waited way too long. And because of that, he wasn't a draw. The movie, I mean, for what it was, you know, it's Death Race meeting Survivor pretty much. But
it's Americanized Battle Royale, but shitty.
It's been rehashed. This type of storyline has been rehashed so many times that it just, for me, I didn't find it too interesting. Austin, for what he is, you know, he's not an actor. So he did okay. In terms of an action star, I thought he was okay. I liked Vinnie Jones because he's good in that type of role, being just like a fighting badass. Apart from that, though, yeah, definitely forgettable movie. You know, if you got time on Netflix, maybe check it out. But I'd give it 3 stunners out of 10. Heavy Set, you want to comment?
It's pretty much typical WWE Studios film right there at the beginning. There was only one that was actually really good towards the beginning. I don't even want to say really good. It just seemed to fit perfect, and we'll get into that one later. I give it a 4 out of 10 at best.
All right, on to The Rock. He stars with Sean William Scott in this action comedy, The Rundown.
One job, I wipe your slate clean. You walk out of this house a free man.
How much?
250 large.
No problem.
He's come to the other side of the world.
Is that duct tape?
To finish one last job.
I'm looking for a man. His name's Travis Walker. Brown hair, face like a weasel.
Do I know you?
I'm taking you home, Travis.
What's in Los Angeles?
Your father.
No.
So angry!
Shut up.
If only it were that simple.
Apparently, he stumbled onto a
tree. I forgot he was in it. Walking!
It of some value in my jungle.
Yep.
I want it back.
Wow.
Whatever my father's paying you, I will double it.
No.
I'll quadruple it.
No.
I'll double it and quadruple it.
Hell no.
I hope you enjoy the fall.
Yeah, what fall?
Let's go.
Heads up.
Up there.
Oh, shut up. Well, you always gotta hit me.
We gotta get to this tree.
Got it.
Great.
Oh, what is he doing?
Establish dominance.
I want hunting parties. Find them.
I do not want to fight you. We are not fighting.
Okay, hip hop.
Don't worry, they're little people.
What?
You could take them. They're little.
Boom, 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 boom.
Guys fight hard.
I slaughter cows.
The Rundown.
You got the moves. I'll give you that.
Ow! Rundown, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. A tough, aspiring chef is hired to bring home a a mobster son from the Amazon, but becomes involved in a fight against an oppressive town operator and the search for a legendary treasure. This was pretty fun. It wasn't The Rock's first foray into film. I believe that was The Mummy Returns in a bit part and then Scorpion King. But this is, at the time, while he was still in the WWE, one of his better films, I found. I really enjoyed it. Stifler was great. Christopher Walken was phenomenal, especially when he tried to explain Tooth Fairy to the locals. That shit was killing me. What else? The Rock gets his ass kicked, I don't know how many dozen times. It's ridiculous, and he just keeps coming back for more. I liked it quite a bit. Like I said, supporting cast definitely helped. I believe it's still considered a box office failure. Budget of 85 and pulled in roughly 81 worldwide. So, I mean, $4 million loss isn't that bad, but it is WWE Studios, so it was bad at the time. Uncredited cameo, Arnie, for what people said was the passing of the action star torch, which was supposed to be, but I don't know if that really happened since Rock went pure Disney right after. But it's still a great film. I really enjoyed it. For me, it's a 7.5. Ridiculously long falling down a mountain out of 10.
Yeah, I would agree on most of those points. I think it's one of Rock's, one of the funner roles he's done. And he did a good job. I mean, he had good chemistry with Sean William Scott. So I'm curious to know, when I look back, why it did poorly. And yeah, it did make 80 worldwide, but you'd figure a movie like that could easily rack in 100, 120. So it was just, maybe it just wasn't marketed well, or people just didn't see Rock as a draw. Although he did, you know, you make $90 million with a cameo in The Mummy. So you could see it was really at a time where they were trying to invest in the next action star. You had mentioned the passing of the torch from Arnie. But yeah, just it kind of fell short. And in a lot of his movies, we see that it's fell short, although they're good movies. I would give this, I mean, but it's not memorable in any way. I can't say it's one of my favorites, but definitely it's enjoyable, and I recommend you download it and watch it on DVD if you haven't done so. I give it 6.5 out of 10. Heavy set.
I've actually never seen this movie. Well, I've never seen it all the way through. I've seen bits and pieces, but I think because this came around out right at the time as Walking Tall did, and these movies both morphed together, and I could never tell you which was which. And it's still something up until now, this podcast, and actually looking to the difference of it. And it's not a movie that I plan on watching. I'm not a big Rock fan, and B, it's just, I don't know. Maybe if I can catch it for free, which I probably could, quite possibly, but it's not something that I'm going to rush out to do. And to correction, Carb, technically The Rock's first film that he did is technically Beyond the Mat, which though that movie, along with, Wrestling with Shadows would have been fun to have on this list because I know me and Old School, we both like documentaries, so it'd be fun to talk about those. And actually, if you listen to the allwrestling.com, we can review this week, you'll hear me talk about why they should do Beyond the Mat 2.
Yeah, those movies are fun because they're not part of the WWE establishment, you know, especially in the Wrestling with Shadows. A lot of that footage was given before the screw job. So, you know, looking at it now, I'm sure McMahon wouldn't have allowed it if it wasn't already pre-cleared kind of thing.
Well, before I did my call this week, I actually did a lot of research on Beyond the Mat because, I mean, it's a great film. It's a great documentary. And because I believe that we as wrestling fans, we love documentary DVDs that come out, like CM Punk, Bret Hart. A lot of, like, those are some of the best ones. Granted, the other DVDs are good too, but, like, I know probably most people prefer those. And I think it all stems back down to that. And I did, like I said, I was doing some research, and basically Vince and Linda gave the okay to do it. And it took a lot of persuasion. WCW backed out. And the only reason ECW was in it was because Terry Funk was like, you know, check these guys out. And after Vince gave the okay, after he brought the camera crew through Connecticut and looked through everything and all this said and done, when the guy behind, I think his name was like Brian Bluestone or something, he presented it to Vince McMahon, and Vince and Linda hated it because of how the business was represented. And I pretty much think that's why the DVDs are the way they are now, where WWE's like, we're going to produce documentaries telling the story our way. And pretty much ever since they have done that, and the other two DVDs came out, like anything that comes out doesn't get a lot of publicity, doesn't get a lot of talk. Like, I know there was a ECW DVD that came out, like, might be Forever Hardcore. I've heard of it, but I've only seen the beginning of it, but that's only because it's on YouTube for free. So just a little thing about there. I think if we were actually going to do anything for the Attitude Era, I think Beyond That is a great representation, because when they started recording it, it was actually right at that moment where they started doing the quote Attitude Era. So it just kind of does fit in perfectly.
Yeah, definitely honorable mention for it. And it, you know, not a lot of people know about it because, like you said, McMahon's absolutely hated it because it made the wrestling business look really bad. So it did not get promoted on WWE television. Whereas, you know, if it did, it probably would have done a lot better than it did. I think it only made a couple $1 million. So if you guys do have time, I would strongly recommend that you guys check out Beyond the Mat, definitely because of that Attitude Era stuff and breaking the fourth wall. As Smarks absolutely love shoots and breaking the fourth wall. All right, our last movie from the Attitude Era is a giant steaming pile of shit.
Literally.
But definitely worth mentioning on the WCW side, called Ready to Rumble.
Buenos nachos.
Gordy, I didn't know you spoke Spanish. Are you fluent?
No. I feel fine.
Gordy and Sean had dead-end jobs.
People always said I was a dreamer, an idiot, and a waste of life, and I will never amount to anything.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
No luck with the ladies.
Brittany, let's go out again. We'll talk about me and you.
Dude, you're in there.
And no one to look up to.
Freeze!
Your sister shot her first perp today.
That's nice, Gabby.
But at least they had a hero.
Jimmy King is the greatest wrestler of all time.
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's not fake!
Down goes Jimmy King!
Oh my God, a four-post massacre! No one can survive this! This isn't even a pay-per-view!
Would that be raw sewage I'm smelling?
They kind of always like that smell.
Now, these dreamers...
Me and my associate, we're on a quest to find King.
It's him!
King!
...will go to any lengths...
Please, crowd!
Oh, no! Yeah. Oh, that was great!
...and do whatever it takes...
We got a friend. He's gonna get you a trainer.
Everybody knows wrestling's fake.
...to put their king...
Do I feel fake?
...back on his throne.
Any match, any time!
The Steel Cage.
Steel Cage wins!
No! Fail!
It's done! Bring it on!
We are...
Chicks rock!
Ready to rumble.
Wayne's World meets World Championship Wrestling. Carp, go ahead.
Yeah, pretty simple synopsis. Two slacker wrestling fans are devastated by the ousting of their favorite character by an unscrupulous promoter. This was fun for WCW. I believe this is close to their 2000. So I don't know how close it was to their dying days. This starred pretty much everybody in WCW at the moment. They even put an angle on Nitro and had David Arquette win the championship to try and promote this film. Considered financial flop, I believe. As the budget was $24 million and the gross in the U.S. was $12 million, so not even half their money. The wrestling part were really well done. Oliver Platt looks like he was basically like Stone Cold at the time, like Stone Cold meets Jerry Lawler nowadays. And the amount of nut shots is ridiculous. During the credits, there's like a quick clip of all the nut shots in the movie, and I lost count of like 20 nut shots. Arquette was a little over the top, but he's generally over the top in most of his acting forays, as we shall say. Rose McGowan is a Nitro girl I found looked hot, but I'm a fan of Rose McGowan myself. There was rumored to be working on a sequel, but obviously that never happened since WCW collapsed. The Sal Bandini character I liked, he was Stu Hart when you think about it. So him beating up Saturn and Sid, and he's like, they're young guys, and he's this 90-year-old guy beating the shit out of him because he's a wrestler, I thought was hilarious. Titus Sinclair is kind of a ripoff of Eric Bischoff was funny, so It's an alright film. It's got rewatchable when I'm drinking factor. For me, it's a 5.5 Nitro Girls out of 10.
Yeah, I have no interest in seeing it, and haven't seen it, don't care. Fuck David Arquette. Heavy set.
You serious? Really? I mean, granted, it's a crappy movie, and WCW's terrible, but I don't know. I was at the age when this came out where I loved wrestling no matter what. I wasn't a big WCW fan, but I watched it because it was fucking wrestling. And, I mean, it had some hilarious parts in there. Like, Carp covered a lot of them of pretty much their version of Jerry the King Lawler. I think the Sal Mandini version of Stu Hart was absolutely excellent. I'm hoping when whoever wrote those basically wrote those as nods to those particular people, even though they could have had Stu Hart in it, because I do believe Brett was with WCW at that time. I just don't remember if he's in the movie per se. The movie, like, as a movie, it sucks, but as a wrestling fan, it's nostalgia. It is what it was. I mean, if I ever hear about the musical called Oklahoma, I always happen to think of this movie. Like I said, it's terrible, but I still think it's kind of fun. And the clip of, you know, wrestling's fake, wrestling's not fake. It was almost basically a
text. It's real to me, damn it, guy.
Well, it's what it is the characters are basically your grade A version of Marx. I think, like, if you wanted to, like, have a wrestling dictionary and they had, like, Marx, it just should say C-rated Rumble.
Yeah. You know, maybe because I wasn't a WCW guy, I was actually 100% WWE. I watched one WCW pay-per-view back in the day. I was one of the few that never switched. So maybe that's why there's no real interest to me this.
Well, like, for me, it's like I never really switched, but it was wrestling was wrestling. I watched WCW just because it was wrestling. I tried to watch other aspects of wrestling. Like, I remember I used to get Smoky Mountain at the time, but it was on, like, a weird freaking channel in the afternoon. I never could watch it all the time, but it was just that's what I liked. And, it's also this is the grade A reason why WWE ended up buying out WCW. And it's like, if you were to pinpoint this of when the fall of WCW was, it's either going to be slightly right before or in the middle of the downfall of it. And if I'm going to rate it, I'm going to rate it 2 Jimmy Kings out of 5.
Let's upgrade ourselves now to the modern era. We got two really interesting films.
Quickly shout out some honorable mentions of the Attitude Era, if that's all right.
Go for it. Honorable mentions.
I'd say Longest Yard. It had Kevin Nash, Goldberg, Stone Cold.
Don't forget the great Khali.
Khali as well, that's true. That's all. Well, Stone Cold did a straight-to-video one called Damage, which was actually not bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. And then obviously Walking Tall with The Rock. Be Cool with The Rock, Doom with The Rock, Gridiron Guy with The Rock. But I believe this is all post WWE. So still, I mean, so far out of almost any wrestler who's been in a movie, obviously Dwayne Johnson's been the most successful. We got WWE films working on some future things. And let's get about the John Cena modern era, I guess.
Exactly. The modern era. This is the first movie of the modern era called The Marine, starring John Cena and T-1000.
Excuse me. Everybody down.
Everybody on the ground now!
Enjoy the rest of your day.
What if you just took off? Get up in the morning and go somewhere. Come on!
Okay, yes, yes.
All units be on the lookout for a black Cadillac. Suspect's extremely dangerous.
Cadillac man, huh?
Might need a hostage.
No! Highway Patrol, this is John Triton. You have officers down, multiple assailants. They have a hostage. It's my wife.
The guy who called in, John Triton, his next Marine.
Would somebody please shoot this guy?
What does it look like we're doing?
Missing.
This October, meet a one-man strike force that never surrenders.
I tried to kill this guy twice today. He just won't die.
John Cena.
some Marines showed up, that's what.
The Marine, Carp, go.
The Marine, released in 2006, starring John Cena, Robert Patrick, and Kelly Carlson. WWE SmackDown star at the time, obviously. Self-proclaimed Doctor of Thugonomics, John Cena, makes his explosive action feature debut as John Triton, a U.S. Marine who returns home from duty after violating commander's order, only to have his wife kidnapped by a ruthless criminal. Robert Patrick co-stars as the villainous Rome, who is more than willing to kill if it means staying one step ahead of the law. And Kelly Carlson appears as the endangered object of the vengeful veteran's affections. With nothing left to lose and enough training to take down a small army, the hard-fighting Triton sets out to rescue his wife and ensure that the psychotic Rome receives a painful taste of Semper Fi justice. I mean, this was a great shoot-em-up style flick. Robert Patrick, great antagonist. Kelly Carlson looks great in it. John Cena as a Marine, as, you know, soldier and such, played a pretty good role. The super immortal cop car was awesome. It took like a billion bullets and pretty much kept going.
I was fucking ridiculously.
There was a weird part with the black character about something about rock candy. And when he explains it, you're like, yeah, that was, I don't get the point of why they added that. The two like gigantic thuggish meth dealer rednecks too, who get their asses kicked by him. It's like, this is ridiculous. I actually recently watched the unrated version and it was nice to see the kills on screen, where I remember the kills being off screen when I first saw it out at the cinema. A ridiculous amount of explosions, more so than I thought the WWE could afford at the time. Budget of $20 million at the time, and it ended up grossing roughly $18.8 in the U.S. So, not a complete loss, obviously.
After the whole market, you figure they made their money back.
Yeah, they made its money back. I mean, they've continued the Marine sequels with Ted DiBiase's The Marine 2 and Miz as The Marine 3 and to be 4. So, obviously, this is one that they're keeping in their breadbasket. I liked it. I thought it was a great movie. Obviously, it's not going to track that well on some like Rotten Tomatoes, but to me, it's a 6 super invincible cop cars out of 10.
Yeah, you touched on a lot of points. It's a fun movie. You leave your brain at the door because, you know, there's no acting ability in here, but it's just fun. It's fun because of the ridiculousness of it, and I really enjoyed myself watching it. You could see Robert Patrick look like he was having a lot of fun in the movie. He's just like just an asshole, but just, you know, it's almost an asshole you root for. It's very entertaining as the heel in this movie.
Yeah, but, you know, what I like too is when one of the guys is shooting him and he's like, who is this guy, the Terminator? And you see Rob Patrick like giving that look. I'm like, that is a perfect throwback.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Yeah, you know, but again, that just shows kind of the cheesiness of the movie, but that's what it's meant to be. So if you just, again, leave your mind at the door. If you like explosions every 13 minutes in a movie, just everything blows up in this movie. John Cena is running half the movie just in the woods at stuff. He's, you know, chase movie. Like you mentioned, that cop car, you know, they're either the worst shots in the world or probably every inch of that cop car was covered in bullets. So whatever. But again, that's the way a movie is. And I really, really enjoyed myself watching it. Michelle Gallagher, too. Yeah, she was hot. And they had good chemistry, the two together, in the small amount of time that they were together before they got kidnapped and stuff like that. I'd give it 8 explosions out of 10, just for the fun of it. Heavy set.
It's been quite some time since I've seen this movie, but the thing is to me about it was very kind of like forgettable. I can't tell you much from the movie besides what we talked about here. My rating, I'll just throw out there, is 2 moves of doom out of 5.
Okay.
And without anybody looking, I'm going to see if you can answer this really quick. Can anybody tell me what John Cena's – what the first movie John Cena was in?
First movie John Cena was in.
Without searching it.
I know because I watched it. He has a small little background extra part in Ready to Rumble.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. The scene – one of the scenes where Jimmy King's trying to get Goldberg. You can actually just search on YouTube and it'll come up. And he's like this weightlifter who's in the back. And I've read the story about it, which is kind of like where they were shooting. That's like where John Cena worked out at the time. And it just so happened to work out like he's in a WCW movie. But he's not even credited. So it was that small of a part.
Still kind of cool. You know, you see little tidbits of that kind of stuff. All right. So our last movie of the WrestleMania episode, it's probably one of their better movies in terms of legitimacy. This is See No Evil, starring Kane.
Hello?
What's that?
Hello? No, wait, hold up.
You're kidding, right?
What do you want?
Kane is perfect in this role. I have not seen the movie, but just looking in the trailer, it's like, if you're going to cast a guy from the WWE that be in a horror movie, you have to pick Kane. Kane is the guy. Or maybe the boogeyman. But in all seriousness, I think Kane's perfect casting for this. Great role because it's going to be a low budget, and horror movies do well. They just always do well because of low budgets, and you've got these hardcore fans who love to watch them. So I think it's one of the few WWE films to make a decent profit as well. Maybe not necessarily my type of movie because I don't watch horror, but from what I heard, it's really good. And in my opinion, one of the most, I guess, legitimate movies that WWE has come out with. Carp, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, well, like you said, I guess I'll just do the quick movie synopsis. A group of delinquents are sent to clean the Blackwell Hotel. Little do they know reclusive psychopath Jacob Goodnight has holed away in the rotting hotel. When one of the teens is captured, those who remain, a group that includes a cop who put a bullet through Goodnight's head 4 years ago, band together to survive against the brutal killer. Yeah, Kane was perfect in this role. I heard apparently when they were casting the female victims in the movie that they had Kane like sitting in a short chair. And even then they were like, holy shit, this guy's huge. The girls were actually, some of them were legitimately scared of how big yes. this guy was. This is a great horror flick. It was really well written. I'm looking forward to the sequel a lot. Some of his kills were really well done. Like there's a kill with the cell phone where the chick's trying to hide, cell phone goes off, he hears it, grabs the phone and actually stuffs it down her throat, which there's some days in public I'm tempted to do that to people. Unfortunately, I'd never get away with it. And I'm also not a 7 foot tall monster. This is actually considered a decent success too. I believe the budget was roughly $8 million and it grossed $15 million in the US. So
that's great.
Obviously we know there's a sequel on the way. I guess I don't really want to say anything in case people would like to see this at some point. But yeah, so Kane's back again, which is great. It's directed by the directed and written by the Soska sisters, who are known as the Twisted Twin Sisters, who are these new female sisters in Hollywood who are focusing on horror movies. It's got a couple of horror movie actresses, Catherine Isabel, who's Canadian, and Danielle Harris, who you'd know from the Halloween reboots and the actual original Halloween 4 and 5. So I'm looking forward to the sequel. I love the original. It's a perfect length movie. It's about 1 hour 20, which is damn near perfect. Some of the kills are super original. The Jacob Goodnight character is very original. My only complaint is obviously, like, even if I were, like, these are a group of juvenile delinquents who are cleaning up this hotel to get time off. As soon as I'd walk into an abandoned hotel that looked like that, I'd be like, yo, you know what? Add another year to my sentence. I'm going back. Fuck this place.
Yeah.
But that's because I've watched a lot of horror movies, and I know bad shit happens in those type of environments. For me, this is a 8 Jacob Goodnight's John.
Yeah, just give it an 8.
8 out of 10.
Have you seen See No Evil?
Yes.
And your thoughts?
This is the movie I was alluding to earlier. And this seems to be when WWE started like posting, you know, WWE films on everything and whatnot. And I felt like this was like the perfect film for it. It's because, granted, yes, it was everything was said of a horror movie, but it was, even as a wrestling fan, like you're watching it and going, I could see the character Kane doing this. It just fits. Instead of, we're going to take this guy who's the cerebral assassin and we're going to make him do all the dumb shit he did. We're going to take this. Yeah, whatever he did in the fucking Chaperone. I can't even fucking tell you. A Big Show, we're going to take this guy. Granted, who's a goofy individual, we're going to make him, put him in a movie and we're going to do all this stuff. It worked for Andre in Princess Diaries, which that could, or Brides. I always get them fucking mixed up. I was even telling my girlfriend.
I don't think Andre was in Princess Diaries.
I always get the titles mixed up because they're fucking so close. Yeah, Princess Brides, or Bride, whatever, fuck ever. Andre was great in that. Big Show, he can't do it. He can't fucking do it. And it just won't work with WWE films. So, like, all this badness was wrong around the right character. Like, horror movie fans got behind it. Wrestling fans could get behind it, and I thought it was excellent. The fact that they have made the sequel, I'm very interested in. It's kind of long overdue, and Glenn Jacobs, Kane, he's a fantastic actor just as his character. I think I used to love when they were doing the promotion for the first film, and they would show things during Raw, and, like, they had the little thing that they showed, and he was basically talking, and, like, he said, like, oh, someone said, like, oh, you're a really good actor, and he's just like, I'm not acting. That's someone who got it, made that movie freaking awesome. I give it 666 flaming corner post out of 10.
Awesome. All right, let's close the show with some final thoughts.
I do an honorable mention of what's coming out, and actually their most successful one was The Call.
Obviously.
I mean, it made an extra $17 million, I think, like on top of their budget. Obviously, it's a Halle Berry pull, a very small role by David the Lawyer Otunga. Yeah, so here we go.
Yeah.
Budget of $13 million, opening weekend of $17 million, with a total gross U.S.-based of $51.8 million.
That's not bad.
This is a WWE film. Obviously, nothing else below it has made it as good. There was No One Lives with Brodus Clay. Like I mentioned, the other Marines. We had Bending the Rules with Edge, which was considered a flop. Randy Orton in 12 Rounds 2, and I think it was The Reunion. WWE Films is starting to produce more and more as well. We have Oculus coming out in April 11th, but actually, I don't know if there's any WWE superstars in it, but it looks like a legit creepy horror film. If they're smart, they're going to stick to horror. We got the Leprechaun reboot, unfortunately with Hornswoggle, but we'll see. Because I never saw Warwick Davis as a murderous leprechaun from when I saw the first Leprechaun, so we'll see how Hornswoggle does. And then apparently Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery, although it be animated, is actually pulling in some coin from what I'm hearing. So
that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, straight to DVD, so.
Yeah. Dead Man Down pulled in a decent amount. Like, its domestic gross was $10 million, which isn't bad. I don't know what the budget was, but then there's Knucklehead, which domestic gross was $1,000. So,
yeah, total flop.
I mean, we'll see what WWE has to come. We've obviously got characters in the ring and out of the ring. So I guess we'll just have to see what comes up in the future outside of the horror that they seem to be extremely successful with.
Have you said final thoughts?
The Reunion is a very, very good movie. I have never seen it, but I did a preview thing for WWE, and they paid me $20 to watch a preview and do a survey. So I will say that is a very, very good movie. And no other plugs.
I wish I was paid to watch some movies. All right. So for Heavy Set, Carb, this is Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening and enjoy WrestleMania.
He puts the mania in WrestleMania. He puts the fear in Fearless Warrior. He puts the in this all-new original movie. Ferocious beast threatens the main event and the world's greatest superstars, John Cena.
You can't see me!
Triple H, Kane, The Miz, Brodus Clay, Santino, Sin Cara, AJ Lee, and Mr. McMahon.
Welcome to WrestleMania!
Team up with a dog.
Bring it!
Who puts the smack in SmackDown. Scooby-Doo, WrestleMania Mystery. Look for it on DVD, Blu-ray, or digital HD. Also look for these other Scooby-Doo mysteries.
Scooby-Doo! Scooby-Doo!
Scooby-Dooby-Doo!
Okay, first of all, just closing thoughts here. When they have Scooby and Shaggy up on their shoulders, the first thing I'm thinking of is like, the Evolution Thumbs Down, which would be awesome way to close the DVD.
Yeah.
And like, why did they make this giant radioactive bear the heel? Like, what the fuck sense does that make?
Monster Mystery, Matt.
That's a kid's movie.
Okay. Well, I know our friend Duke downloaded it, so we can always get his thoughts at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I might even download it just out of curiosity.
Do you think when they take off the mask of this bear, it's going to either be Eric Bischoff, Ted Turner, or Dixie Carter?
Dixie Carter would be ballsy move.
I am the best monster at what I do.